The current climate change narrative says that with massive action to eliminate carbon emissions, humans can prevent global disaster. But Illinois State University Associate Professor Catherine O'Reilly says some parts of the planet have already experienced 2 degrees of Celsius of warming, considered a tipping point for significant environmental change. As the trend continues around the globe, scientists predict rising sea levels, lower crop yields, more deadly heat waves, and other weather disasters. GLT News correspondent Brianna Groh spoke with O'Reilly after a climate change forum last week and asked, shouldn't we be preparing for the worst?
When we think about what we need to do moving forward, we do have to face the reality that this is not going to just disappear. That even if we start making a lot of progress on mitigation, we are still going to see warming. So we know, for example, that if we immediately went to no CO2 emissions right now, like we just said, next year we're just all in, and we somehow managed to completely do that, the technology is available, we would still see warming for several decades. And the reason for that is that these greenhouse gases are like blankets. So when you're cold, you put a blanket on you, you don't instantly suddenly feel warm, right? It takes a little while for that blanket to trap that heat, and then you start to feel warmer. So carbon and these other greenhouse gases are just like a blanket. We put a blanket on us, we don't feel that warmth right away. It takes a while to feel it. But we keep putting on more and more blankets because we're still feeling kind of cold. Then eventually you're just going to be crazy, crazy hot, right? Right now we have so many blankets on the earth that we are going to be feeling warm no matter what, even if we stop putting more of these greenhouse gas blankets on top of ourselves. So adaptation is something we're going to have to figure out how to do. And there are lots of examples around the world of cultures and communities and countries that have made strides towards improving their resilience to climate change. And hopefully in the United States, we're going to be able to do some of that as well.
So if that blanket is still going to be there and, you know, it's not going to come off right away or even for several generations, even with the most drastic actions, why does it feel like so much of our conversation is about reducing carbon emissions rather than saying, well, these changes are inevitable?
The changes have already happened and started to happen, and these changes are really well documented around the world. The focus on carbon emissions, the focus on what role do humans really have in climate change, is essentially a construct of the political discourse in the United States. If you go to other countries in the world, they are not having these same conversations. They have already moved ahead to a place where they are thinking about adaptation planning for the future. Several years ago, I was invited by the president of Mauritius to come attend a conference in Mauritius that focused on women in Africa. I do a lot of work in East Africa on water and climate. And it was astounding to me. There were all these women from Africa and parts of India, and their countries were moving ahead in technologies, changing agriculture, all of these things. And we were not even having a conversation about, is this about CO2 emissions? Is this about what people do? Should we drive different kind of cars? It was just like, here's what we're doing, you know, because we know that we need to change what we do. And here's some things that we're getting started on in our communities to make sure that we have robust agriculture and food security in the future.
And this makes me think of our current elected officials and the ability of future elected officials to actually enact change. We clearly don't have a consensus in our Congress or even in our presidential leadership about what is scientific fact, what we should be moving on. Do we need to wait or can we wait for there to be consensus or for those who deny climate change to come around?
We can move forward on these issues by ourselves. And whenever I kind of look at the political landscape and hear these, you know, conversations and that our politicians are having, especially sort of at the federal level, it's really easy to get disheartened and just feel like we are never going to move through this current barrier in this country and catch up with what a lot of the rest of the world is doing, frankly. We're losing out economically, we're losing out technologically on innovations that America could be leading on if we were able to just stop having the conversation and start doing stuff about this. When I get really disheartened about these things, I think about what America's done in the past. And so for the great examples of this are the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. Those were not federal initiatives. They came from people who were like, I am really sick of seeing this dirty water and not being able to let my kids swim. I am sick of having air quality that is not safe for me to be around. And those were issues the public like coalesced around, came together around, and really forced the issue all the way up to the federal level where laws were put in place so that our water quality has improved and our air quality has improved. And we can do the same thing with climate change. The challenge with climate is it's just a very complex issue. There's lots of different facets that contribute to it, but I think we can look at those earlier cleaner acts and clean water acts as models for success and use those to help and inspire us that we should keep pushing forward, because a lot of the changes that need to happen, they do need to come from top-down levels. We really, and businesses are on board, states are on board. We just need a little bit of extra push to get this through at the very upper level so that we can sort of have our clean, you know, sustainable climate and future.
And that's Dr. Catherine O'Reilly, an associate professor of geology at Illinois State University. I'm Brianna Groh.
You can read more about last week's climate change forum held at the Normal First United Methodist Church right now on WGLT.org.